Great. Thanks, everyone. I want to welcome everyone to tonight's teletown hall about what's at stake for healthcare over the coming months for seniors and older adults in Pennsylvania. As COVID continues to spread across the state and country, more and more people struggle with the pandemic's impact. We need Congress to pass relief and recovery legislation to help the millions of people who have lost jobs in healthcare. But the Republican majority has instead spent the last month packing the Supreme Court with a new judge who opposes the Affordable Care Act. On Monday, Judge Barrett was confirmed to the Supreme Court. Now, just 1 week after the election, she'll get to vote on a critical court case to repeal the Affordable Care Act. I want to remind folks about what's at stake across the country and in Pennsylvania if the ACA was repealed. In Pennsylvania, 996,000 people could lose important protections, including over 2 million Pennsylvanians with pre-existing conditions like diabetes, heart disease, or alcohol or drug addiction. If we repeal the Affordable Care Act, we would lose Medicaid expansion, which helps over 800,000 hardworking Pennsylvanians access health care. Repeal also weakens Medicare for seniors, including by reopening the Part D donut hole coverage gap. In Pennsylvania, over 275,000 seniors each year have saved an average of $1,137 thanks to the Affordable Care Act. Currently, the price of prescription drugs is rising faster than any other medical good or service, and the administration has done nothing to lower those prices. Last year in Pennsylvania, we found that 1 in 3 Pennsylvanians that completed a healthcare survey actually failed to fill a prescription due to cost. Tonight, we're going to hear from some Pennsylvanians about what is at stake for them because of this week's vote to confirm Judge Barrett. We're also going to take questions about what the decision could mean for people and their families, and we'll hear from Senator Casey, a champion for Pennsylvanians, about what to do to protect and expand healthcare at this critical moment when so many people are struggling to stay afloat in the worst public health crisis. You can ask a question at any time during the call. If you have a question for Senator Casey or any of the speakers, please press 0 on your phone's keypad and someone will take your question. So again, if you have a question, hit 0, and you'll be connected, and we'll get to your question as soon as we can. We're going to start tonight with a poll question for the audience. We want everyone used to the system. Here's the poll question. Who on tonight's call would be directly impacted if the Supreme Court repeals the Affordable Care Act? Press 1 if someone in your family has a pre-existing condition, like high blood pressure, diabetes, cancer, or another condition. Press 2 if you or someone in your family has had COVID, which could be considered a pre-existing condition in the future. Press 3 if you're worried about getting sick and not being able to afford prescription medicine. And press 4 if you know if none of the options above applies to you and your family. Press the option of your choice, and then shortly we'll come back with the results. Let's go ahead and get started with the teletown hall. Tonight, we're going to start by taking a couple of questions from the audience. We'll take 2 questions in a row and then ask Senator Casey to respond. First, we'll go to Patty Wolfgang from York County. Patty?
Hi, Senator Casey. Thank you for all you do. My name is Patty, and I'm from York County in Central PA. I know what it's like to live without health insurance, and thanks to the ACA, I also know what it's like to have reliable coverage. It literally has been life-saving to be able to see a doctor when I need to. I have a few pre-existing conditions, including diabetes and epilepsy. My question is, what will happen to all the people with pre-existing conditions if the ACA is taken away?
Thanks, Patty. And next, we'll hear from Nancy Fennell, who also has a story to share and a question for Senator Casey. Nancy?
Hi. My name is Nancy, and I live in a town in western Pennsylvania. I have diabetes, and I use insulin daily. I'm on Medicare, but the price for my insulin is still high, and when I'm in the donut hole, it's even higher. I already skip meals so I can make my insulin last longer. If the ACA ends, the donut hole opens back up to 100% of drug costs, what will I be able to do? I just cannot afford those costs. Also, what can Congress do to address rising health care costs?
Thanks, Nancy. And I want to remind folks that if, you know, you're worried about health care, you have a question for Senator Casey or one of the speakers coming up, you can hit zero on your phone and we will get you in line to ask your question. So again, hit zero if you have a question. And with that, I'd like to introduce Senator Casey. It sounds like there are a lot of people on this call who have concerns we just heard, like from the two people that asked questions, Nancy and Patty. That's why we're very lucky tonight to hear directly from Pennsylvania Senator Bob Casey. At the Pennsylvania Health Access Network, we've worked closely with Senator Casey, and he's been a real champion to make sure we protect and expand health care for millions of Americans and protect the hundreds of thousands of Pennsylvanians whose lives are at stake if we repeal the Affordable Care Act. Senator Casey, welcome. We're eager to hear your remarks and would ask you to respond to the two questions and to share your thoughts.
Well, thanks very much, everyone, for being on the call. And I apologize, I was tuning in late because I'm traveling, and it's a particularly busy time, as you can imagine. But I really want to thank everyone who made this call possible. Annette Krause, and for those who have posed the questions and who are advocating every day for seniors and for people that need advocates throughout our state and even beyond when it comes to healthcare. We had unfortunately what I believe will be proved to be a terrible blow to healthcare this past Monday evening when Judge Barrett was confirmed because of the statement she's made about other cases involving the Affordable Care Act and what she said about the reasoning behind the 2012 case. And I'm also concerned because her nomination, just like Mr. Justice Gorsuch and Justice Kavanaugh, was really not initially chosen by Donald Trump, because I don't think the president spends much time studying judicial opinions or puts a lot of time into this. He basically said to two organizations, two right-wing extreme organizations, the Federalist Society and the Heritage Foundation, you give me the list, and whoever is on the list, I'll pick from. So that means he doesn't have to do any work. He just has to pick from the most extreme candidates in the country. So if you're a far-right judge and you express your hostility towards the Affordable Care Act, for example, or a hostility to other doctrines or other programs like Medicare and Medicaid, for example, you have a shot at being chosen. And if you're not chosen by those two right-wing organizations, Federalist Society and the Heritage Foundation, you're not going to make the cut, because it is a fact that the president said when he was running, I'm going to pick only from that list, or the list as it was amended and added to after he became president. But that's what he's done. He's had three nominations to the court, and all three came from those groups that are hostile to the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. And at the same time, while this nomination was pending, the only sliver, tiny sliver of good news was that the American people found out that there was a case in front of the Supreme Court. Most Americans didn't know that. Most Americans don't have time to follow the bouncing ball of what case is in front of the Supreme Court and when the argument is. But we now know why there was a rushed process, why the Senate majority was moving heaven and earth to get Judge Barrett confirmed, was basically for two reasons. And the president told us. He told us in May that he wanted to terminate health care. He used those words, terminate health care under the Affordable Care Act. And he told us most recently that he wanted the Supreme Court to, quote, count the ballots if he were to litigate the election. But the real reason for the rush on Judge Barrett with regard to health care was not simply that the president and his party
want to destroy the Affordable Care Act. They do, and everyone knows that. Now they tried to repeal it. I've lost count how many times. But they also needed to make sure that Judge Barrett was there, not sometime in November or December or January. In their view, she had to be there for the November 10th argument. Because guess what? If she missed the argument, she couldn't vote on the Affordable Care Act case, and therefore the case might end up 4-4 and it would not be struck down. They need her vote to strike down the Affordable Care Act. It's as simple as that. And that argument is November the 10th. So that's the reason why they rushed your nomination. And some might say, well, what is really at stake? It can't really be that bad, right? Well, give you a couple of examples in Pennsylvania. 5.5 million people, roughly, in Pennsylvania have a pre-existing condition. You can do the math. 5.5 million out of 12.8 million people. That means that basically any county in Pennsylvania you walk into, 40% of the people that live in that county, young people, old people, men and women, all kinds of people, have a pre-existing condition. I bet half the people listening to this call have a pre-existing condition of one kind or another. It seems like we all do at some point in our lives. So the protections for that go away if the Affordable Care Act is struck down. And by the way, there's no replacement. There's no bill that's sitting on the sidelines that will kick into gear if the Affordable Care Act goes out of existence. There is no replacement. And as long as Donald Trump and his party have power in the executive branch and in the Senate, there'll be no replacement because they don't seem to really give a damn about health care because it's never been a priority for them. How about the Medicaid expansion, which accounted for most of the coverage gains? We all know that. A million people got health care in Pennsylvania, a million Pennsylvanians. Over 800,000 of them got health care through Medicaid expansion. Right now, the number in Pennsylvania is 840,000 people got coverage through Medicaid expansion. How about prescription drugs? Well, people with Medicare who need high-cost prescriptions could pay up to $3,900 more for the medications every year because the Affordable Care Act did a really good job of closing the donut hole, so-called, coverage gap, where a lot of Americans, older Americans, have to pay hundreds or thousands of dollars per person to fill that gap. The Affordable Care Act was filling that gap over time. Now that will all be undone. So next year or the year after that, a lot of people are going to have trouble paying their prescription drug costs if the Affordable Care Act were struck down. In fact, in the confirmation of Judge Barrett, then Judge Barrett, now Justice Barrett, she was asked if she thought Medicare was constitutional, and she wouldn't answer. In fact, if you listen to her answer, she cited the name of the law professor who wrote an extreme right-wing, and I would call it loopy, article in a law review questioning the constitutionality of Medicare. That is extreme. It's un-American. It's cruel, because that means you can wipe out Medicare too. Now, I don't even know if that could get a majority in the Republican caucus of the Senate, but maybe it could. But when she was asked about it, she could have very easily said, well, my goodness, Medicare has been around for more than 50 years, and it's very important for health care for older Americans. And I don't agree with people who think that statute is unconstitutional. It's as part of the fabric of American life as anything. But she refused to say that, but she seemed to know very well the law professor's name, so she seemed to be familiar with his loopy, right-wing, stupid and destructive argument, and that really troubled me. In fact, I think if someone comes before the Senate and says, as a Supreme Court nominee, and says that they're not, that doesn't say something complimentary and affirmative and supportive about Medicare, I think that's disqualifying. I might vote against them just for that reason alone, and it would be a damn good reason to vote against them. So on and on, you see these loopy right-wing proposals. So let's go to some of the questions. Now, I because of my lateness on the call, I wasn't sure what the order of the questions were, so maybe someone can help me with that.
Yeah, thanks, Senator Casey. So you started to address this, but our first question is, you know, what is someone with pre-existing conditions going to do if the ACA is taken away? And then, you know, the second one, and we're seeing a lot of questions come in, you know, a lot of seniors are worried about the donut hole opening back up, but they're also worried in general that, you know, they're just seeing their prescription drug prices go up and up and up. So, you know, what else can Congress do to address rising healthcare costs, specifically around prescription drugs?
Yep. And was the first question Patty, or do you have it in?
Yep, the first question, Patty from York County. So she's worried. Okay. She has diabetes and epilepsy and is worried that, you know, if the ACA is taken away, she'll be vulnerable because she has a pre-existing condition.
Well, I want to, first of all, thank Patty for being part of this discussion and also for asking the question. Look, I think I've said it already, but I'll say it again. Taking away, wiping out, striking down, whatever verb you want to use, the Affordable Care Act, would be a calamity for the United States of America. And it makes no sense. It will harm our economy. It will harm our national security. Now, some people might say, oh, my goodness, why is he saying that? Yeah, it would. We are a less secure nation when people lose health care. Because guess what? People who don't have health care can't contribute to society. They can't build a strong economy, and that hurts our national security. It affects our ability to defend ourselves in a national security context. But it's especially devastating and debilitating for people who need health care every day of their lives, or at least every week of their lives. Very few people on this call can go through a year or two or even a month without access to health care. So we have to make sure that people know what's at stake before Election Day. I don't care how people are voting. I won't get into that on this call. But people got to know what's at stake in this case. And this is created by the National Republican Party. The politicians in Washington who are Republicans. They tried in 2017 to strike down the Affordable Care Act, and they didn't succeed when John McCain said no. And John McCain's reason for saying no was probably multiple, but one of the reasons was there was no replacement, and he didn't agree with the Affordable Care Act. He didn't like a lot of it, but he didn't want to knock it down if there was no replacement. So they failed in 2017. Then they tried in 2018. Then they got their heads handed to them in the election because of health care and because of pre-existing conditions. So they failed there. They lost the House. So then in 2019 and 2020, they said, why don't we try a different approach? Why don't we litigate this, fund litigation, spend tens of millions on litigation, and get it all the way up to the Supreme Court? And here they are. They've got a case in front of the court, and they have an almost foolproof majority, right-wing majority, on an already court to strike down the Affordable Care Act. It's not good for the country to wipe out protections for pre-existing conditions. So, Patty, I appreciate you sharing your story and appreciate you raising this question. But if this thing gets struck down, we're going to fight like hell. And make sure that we get something done, because the only replacement, if it's struck down, will be a replacement that will be designed by and advocated for by Democrats. Republicans will not be helpful until we force them to be. But in the first instance, we hope the court will not strike it down, but I'm worried that they will.
Thank you, Senator Casey.
Thank you. And is the second question, Nancy, do I have the order right here?
Yeah, and Nancy, are you still on? Do you want to ask your question again? And
about
I just want to remind folks, if you have a question, hit zero, and we'll get you in the queue for Senator Casey to take a couple more questions. So, Nancy, are you still here?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay, you
Nancy,
want me to repeat my question?
You're from
Butler
County,
no? I live near Butler in western Pennsylvania. And I'm a diabetic, and I use insulin daily. I'm on Medicare. Price of insulin is still really high no matter what. And when I'm in the donut hole, it's even higher.
Yep.
So I actually skip meals just to make my insulin last longer so I don't have to buy it as much. And I'm worried if the ACA ends and the donut hole opens up to 100% drug costs, my prescription is over $3,000 a month. And I'd have to pay the full cost for that. And meanwhile, I only get $1,200 a month Social Security, so I just can't afford it. And I'm just wondering what can be done about that and what can Congress do to address the rising cost of especially prescriptions.
Well, two parts to that. One is we have to make sure that if the court were to strike down the ACA, we've got to work to make sure that we have a law passed that even one that doesn't get to every issue right away. We've got to get something passed that will do what the Affordable Care Act did with the donut hole. So that would be the responsibility of both parties. But again, I'm not sure we can rely upon the other party on this. But I'm certainly committed. I know every single Democratic senator. Now we got 47 now. I hope after Election Day we have 51. But every single Democratic senator would be supportive of that. I don't even have to do a poll. I don't have to call them on the phone. I know where they will be on that issue. I just hope we get a couple Republicans to help us make sure that donut hole doesn't open up again for people. So that provision alone saved seniors with Medicare thousands of dollars on prescriptions, and that's why we can't go backwards. But if they're right-wing, and that's, I'm just going to call it that because that's the way I see it, if their right-wing Supreme Court is going to do this, strike it down, they damn well better help us to pass something to help people like you. There's no excuse, Nancy, for you or for any American, especially Americans who have contributed so much to the country. No reason why that kind of support should not be taken. No reason why that support should be taken away from you. No reason why we can't fix it if it's destroyed by the court. But I'm hoping that I'm going to be wrong about this and that the court will not strike down the Affordable Care Act. This is something I don't want to be right about, but I'm predicting something that I don't want to come true. So we're going to fight like hell if they do that. And I know that you will hold them and us accountable, all of us accountable, if the court strikes it down, the donut hole coverage goes away, and we have to start all over again to get something passed. But there's no excuse for this. And when we're supposed to be the greatest country in the world, why the hell would we take 100 steps backwards in the wrong direction on pre-existing conditions, on the donut hole, on covering people, on helping people that got all kinds of help and treatment because they were covered by the ACA or covered by either the Medicaid expansion part of ACA or the exchanges. So we're gonna fight like hell if necessary, but we hope the court won't take this terrible step in the wrong direction. Oh, and the last thing I'd say is on prescription medications generally, on prescription drug costs, both parties, I think, I'll give my Republican friends a rare compliment here. Both parties, I think, are concerned about this. Your voices, I think, have been heard on this because both parties have been working on it. But we need you to keep the pressure on so that people in both parties can come together to get a bill done on prescription drug costs before the first of the year. And if not, if we don't pass something, that we get something done in a new Congress and maybe even a new administration. We'll see what the election brings.
Thank you.
Thanks, Senator Casey. And I want to remind folks, if you have a question, to hit 0, and we'll get you in the queue to ask your question. Senator Casey, I think we have time for, you know, one or two more questions. And our next question comes from Brian Klein in Bucks County. Brian?
Hi, Senator Casey. Thanks for being on the call this afternoon, and thanks for being a champion for the ACA along with Medicaid and Medicare. So Senator Casey, I'm a cancer survivor. He used Medicaid expansion to get diagnosed and treat it. Now I use the ACA marketplace to buy insurance, and I'm doing well because of the care I'm able to receive. But my question is about Medicaid expansion. If the ACA is repealed and we lose expanded Medicaid, what will happen to the people who find themselves without access to insurance? Will they be locked out of care as they were before the ACA was passed?
Yeah, thanks for the question. And look, folks who got coverage from the Affordable Care Act, either through the exchanges or Medicaid expansion, and as I mentioned, of the 20 million plus, I think it's as high as 23 million now, who got coverage, most of them got coverage through Medicaid expansion, as you know. And I mentioned the fact that in Pennsylvania it's 840,781. That's the most recent number. That's a lot of people. That's the, 840,000 people is bigger than the population of some of our states or close to it. So that's Pennsylvania's number. Across the country, I've seen numbers as high as 15, 16, 18 million who got coverage. So if those people were thrown off of coverage, they'd have to go, back into the insurance market more broadly and try to get, but they would not have the option of Medicaid expansion if the law were struck down, nor would they have, in a lot of places, they would lose the opportunity to go into the healthcare exchanges because some of them would be wiped out as well. So just think about it this way. Just Bucks County alone, 25,877 people have Medicaid expansion right now. And that for some, that meant health care coverage. For some, that meant health care coverage that included treatment for a substance use disorder issue, the opioid crisis, which has been a problem in suburban counties like Bucks County, but also urban communities, small towns, rural areas, all kinds of people need a treatment for substance use disorder. And a lot of them only got the treatment because of, guess what, Medicaid expansion. And so big counties like Bucks County have, 25,000 people enrolled. But even small little counties with very little population, our smallest county is Forest County. It's only got about 7,000 people in it. And there's 311 people in that county, 311 at present, to get Medicaid expansion. No one should take any action. The Supreme Court, Congress, the President should take any action that takes away the health care from 311 people in Forest County or 25,000 plus in Bucks County or pick your county. We should guarantee those people who have coverage will have it. And if anything, what we should be working on in the Congress is expanding coverage. We still got 4 million children in the country who don't have coverage. I think we should expand Medicaid further and say every child in the country gets covered by Medicaid. Get them all signed up. You don't have their parents have to sign up. Make sure that every baby leaving a hospital is enrolled in Medicaid. And if the parents want to take them out of Medicaid and put them on employer coverage or put them on CHIP or whatever, fine. But let's put every child on Medicaid when they're born. That would wipe out the uninsured of children. That alone, wiping out that 4 million plus number of children who don't have health care today would be a great step forward. And Medicaid is a damn good program for kids.
Thanks, Senator Casey. All right, we have one more question for you before we have to move on. And our next question comes from Charlotte in Philadelphia. Charlotte?
Yes, hi. I wanted to ask you, I'm a diabetic. I got COPD with the asthma. I take depression, see my psychiatrist. And if anything happens, what do I do? You know what I mean? Because right now I'm robbing Peter to pay Paul with my husband working. It doesn't help that much, but it helps. But with all the conditions I got, and I'm on a fixed income, like the young lady said, the caller number two, I'm on a fixed income. I have a mortgage, and it's just hard for me. And when you have somebody with a depression the way I have it, it's hard with my two issues, with my diabetes and my asthma, and it's going to be hard for me because sometimes I get to the point I go off, but I have to realize that I have a granddaughter I have to take care of, and I can't hurt her. But I also need my medicine, too, and I don't know what to do.
Well, I want to, first of all, thank you for sharing that with us, because I know it's not easy to talk about a circumstance that involves your life and the life of your family. And we want to be helpful. And I think probably the best thing to do, instead of having you disclose personal information you don't want to, is to have Liz of my staff and Antoinette work together to get your information so that we can either have, we can either get in touch with you, or you can get in touch with our office, because it's very important that if we can provide some help to you, we want to be able to do that. Antoinette, is that possible that you'd be able to take the information, or do you want me to leave a phone number? Is that?
Yeah, we can, Mary, we can get your information. We have your phone number in the record, so we can follow up with you. We'll make sure Senator Casey's office gets it. We also have a consumer assistance program that offers free help for folks, so we can make sure that we work for a solution on both ends.
Okay. And Liz, I know Liz is on the call, and I don't know if Liz wanted to leave a number or whether you guys can work that out, because on these kinds of things, we want to make sure that we have our constituent services folks talk directly so that we can get all the information and provide any help that we can. And we do want to help if at all possible. But I appreciate you bringing that to our attention.
Thank you. Thanks, Senator Casey. So I know that you have to go, and we are moving on with our agenda. So as always, we thank you for fighting for all of us in D.C., and just know that people here in Pennsylvania have your back. And before you got on this call, we did a quick poll to see, you know, who would be impacted by repeal of the Affordable Care Act, and 88% of the folks on this call said that they or someone in their family has a pre-existing condition and are scared about what their health outcomes will be if we repeal the Affordable Care Act. So thanks for fighting on behalf of all Pennsylvanians.
Well, thank you. And I can't say enough about the work of the Pennsylvania Healthcare Access Network, known as FAN. So for the record, I want to make it clear that I am a fan of FAN, all right? So thank you for doing that work. Thanks for the advocacy.
Thanks, Senator. I just want to remind folks, if you have a question for any of our speakers, you can hit zero and get in the queue. You know, one other thing that we could all lose if the Affordable Care Act is repealed is no-cost preventative care, which millions of people depend on for checkups, flu shots, and all kinds of screenings. So like many folks on this call, I was able to get my flu shot at no cost this year thanks to the Affordable Care Act. So that's a benefit that we often take for granted. So now we're going to hear from Gina Cummings of Oxfam about why a vaccine is so important. Gina is the Acting VP of Policy and Advocacy Director of Campaigns at Oxfam, one of the co-sponsors of this Teletown Hall tonight. They are leading the fight for a people's vaccine that will stop COVID around the world, and she's here to remind us that the fight is bigger than any of us. Gina?
Thank you, Antoinette. Hi, everyone. I'm Gina Cummings. I'm the Vice President of Policy and Advocacy here at Oxfam America. And let me just start by saying, you know, I'm really enjoying the conversation and the questions, and I'm super grateful to be here. Let me just start by saying that the COVID-19 pandemic continues to devastate us, to devastate our lives, our families, and the economies here at home and around the world. We now understand that 500 million people are likely to be pushed into poverty, and up to 12,000 people a day might die from hunger because of the negative economic impacts of the pandemic. The Gates Foundation recently estimated that 25 years of global health and development progress has already been wiped out in just 25 weeks. We know that a safe and effective vaccine, vaccines are going to offer us a way out of this nightmare. And we also know that and are grateful because scientists are working around the clock to help find a solution, which, by the way, we as taxpayers are helping to fund. Over $10 billion of our hard-earned tax dollars have been invested in making sure that we have a COVID-19 vaccine. But development and approval of a safe and effective vaccine is really only just the first step. Just as importantly, we need to make sure that vaccines are available and affordable to everyone. You know, the lessons over the last 7 months get us to a place where we understand that COVID-19 anywhere is really COVID-19 everywhere, and that all of our dreams and our lives, our health, is all now connected by this disease. And whether or not we live in Detroit, or Milwaukee, or Mumbai, any place around the world, we need to make sure that we protect everyone who's at risk, or else we're all at risk. And that's why we at Axiom are working with organizations around the world to call for a people's vaccine, which would provide immunity as a global public good, free of charge and fairly distributed to everyone. We have to make sure that corporations are putting people before profits, and we have to fight for a people's vaccine. They're not going to give it to us. We have to push Congress to pass legislation that is going to make sure that drug corporations, no drug corporation, gets monopoly power to set prices and set prices that are out of reach for anyone, no matter where they live or what they look like. I mean, bottom line, vaccines won't work if we can't afford them. And an affordable people's vaccine should be a top priority for any lawmaker who wants to beat COVID and who's promising to save lives. Without the Affordable Care Act, we fear that many people in the United States won't be able to afford the vaccine and all the medicines needed to treat COVID. So repealing the ACA takes us in the completely wrong direction. We have hope that the next U.S. president will use this as an opportunity to lead by making the vaccine a global public good and by leveraging the strength, the know-how, and the generosity of the American people. So I'm really happy to be here, and thanks for letting me share a little bit about the work we're doing.
Thank you, Gina. And affordable medicines like vaccines and COVID medicines are essential and totally within reach. But we need Congress to get its priorities in order and put affordable medicines ahead of repealing the Affordable Care Act. I think we are now going to be joined by Bishop Dwayne Royster. Bishop Royster, are you on the call yet?
I am on the call.
Great. So Bishop Dwayne Royster is the Northeast Regional Director of Faith in Action, the nation's largest faith-based organizing movement committed to racial and economic justice, and previously the Executive Director of Power in Philadelphia. Bishop Royster?
Thank you, Antoinette, for having me on the call with you all today. And I just want to say at the outset that this is a moral battle we're fighting right now. And it's a battle that it really is tugging at the soul of our nation and causing us to have to come to a reality about whether we stand with people or we stand with oligarchy and authoritarianism. Right now across this country, everyone is struggling with COVID-19 and its aftermath, but some of us are struggling more. We know that this pandemic has disproportionately impacted older people and brown and black people in our communities. A matter of fact, in places like Philadelphia, we know that it was if you were black or brown, you were more likely to die from the disease than white folk who were getting it at the same time. It has been an issue about disparities in healthcare, about access to healthcare, about access to testing, and it was also an issue about folk being able to be treated and taken care of in this moment. But repealing the Affordable Care Act will double down on that pain. Taking coverage and protections from people who are already facing the brunt of the impact of essential workers and the people most likely to lack resources and healthcare. And as somebody who is married to a nurse, and my daughter is a certified nursing assistant working on her nursing degree, I have a sister that works in healthcare, sister-in-law that works in healthcare, I want people to have the best coverage possible because their good coverage is also protecting my family, who are essential workers and on the front line taking care of people every day. President Trump and the Senate have a moral responsibility. It's not just a business decision, but it's a moral responsibility to do the right thing and pass a COVID relief and recovery package, to keep their promises to protect people with pre-existing conditions and lower the cost of prescriptions, like insulin, like high blood pressure medication, like other medicines that are necessary for folk in my community that they need to stay alive. But they have abandoned that responsibility and instead put their own politics ahead of our health care. They have shown over and over again a blatant disregard for black and brown bodies who have built this country and have basically said, we don't care. It's all about a handful of people that we like, that we want to make sure that we take care of, and forget everybody else. Health care is on the ballot this year because politicians keep putting it there. It's up to us to make sure that all of us vote for the things that are important to us this election cycle and every election cycle. We need to make sure that we are letting our political leaders know without a shadow of a doubt that health care is one of the top priorities that folk across Pennsylvania, including black and brown communities, care about and need to have happen in a way that provides health care not just for a select few, but everybody, especially those that have been hurt the deepest in our nation. So thank you for letting me come and share these remarks, and I turn it back to you, Antoinette.
Thanks, Bishop. And, you know, as Bishop Royster so elegantly pointed out, there's a lot more at stake than just politics, right? People's lives are at stake. As we've heard from folks over and over again on today's call, you know, people are scared they're going to lose their health care, that they're not going to be able to access their prescription drug coverage. And so much more is at stake as we look at what could happen if we repeal the Affordable Care Act. If you have a question for any of our speakers, please hit stars or hit zero. And next we are going to go to Susan from Norristown, Pennsylvania. Susan?
Hi, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you for having me today.
Thanks. Go ahead and ask your question.
Okay. Hi, Senator Bob Casey. My question is that in my household, it's me and my son. We're on mental health medications, and we're also on other medical medications. So we're worrying about, you know, the same thing other people have been calling about losing our health coverage. What are we supposed to do? Because we're both on disability, and we barely get by each month on what we have.
Yeah, thanks, Susan, for your question. So I think, you know, there's a bunch of stuff that you're worried about that we're all worried about, right? So, you know, if the Affordable Care Act is repealed, people with pre-existing conditions will once again be scared that they won't be able to access coverage, behavioral health coverage, mental health coverage, and everything else. You know, I think we've heard from other speakers, too, like yourself, that everyone is worried about the rising cost of prescription drug prices, and what do we do? You know, thanks to the Affordable Care Act, it, you know, started to correct some of that by working to close the donut hole for seniors. And while it's an important first step, we really need to push Congress to get their priorities straight, right? Republicans in Congress have really spent time fighting to repeal the Affordable Care Act, and we really need, you know, our champions and folks like Senator Casey, who is working on our behalf to make sure that we're addressing the rising cost of prescription drugs, because too many Pennsylvanians like yourself are struggling. So thank you for asking your question. And I want to remind folks, if you have a question, to hit zero, and we will get your question in the queue. I think we're going to move on to our next question. Which will be from Mary from Scranton, Pennsylvania. Mary, if you're still there, you're on deck.
Oh, yeah, hi. I was wondering if the Affordable Care Act is repealed, if what would happen to patients entering the hospital for COVID, Would they just be billed, or would their care be free because of the pandemic crisis? Like, how can people afford to be taken care of should they catch COVID?
Yeah, thank you. And I think, you know, like so many Pennsylvanians, we've heard stories over and over again of folks who, you know, have COVID and have gotten treatment, and they've been able to get treatment because, you know, they've been able to get coverage through the Affordable Care Act. So, you know, they've gotten it through the marketplace, their Medicaid expansion, and they've been able.
Hello?
Antoinette, we lost you. Let's give her a second, see if she comes back. I'm going to go ahead and jump in, everybody. This is Margarita George from Lower Drug Prices Now, and I want to make sure that we get Mary a response to your question. And just to recap, Mary's question is, what happens if there's no Affordable Care Act because the law is overturned by the Supreme Court? Then what happens to all these folks going into the hospital to get treatment for COVID? And we know that right now there's a big surge in hospitalization because of COVID. So I think one, the sort of clearest answer is we really don't know what's going to happen, right? And that is kind of the dilemma that we have, is that having this level of uncertainty will do a couple of really negative things. One is a lot of people that will need to get treatment for COVID would not go and get it because it's unclear to them whether or not they're going to be able to afford it. Before we had the Affordable Care Act, when people would go to the hospital and they didn't have insurance, they would actually get a bill from the hospital, and often that bill was a lot higher for people who didn't have insurance than for people who were insured. And, of course, that creates a huge problem for people in terms of medical debt that then they are struggling to pay off for years and years. So I think the key point is that we don't know what's going to happen if the Affordable Care is overturned, and that insecurity is really what's causing so much challenge. You know, we, as Bishop Royster said earlier, you know, healthcare is on the ballot. A key thing that everybody can do if healthcare is important to you is to vote, but let's not kid ourselves, it doesn't stop there, right? After the vote, we are going to have to be in communication with whoever wins the election, and people in both parties to really push them to take action to ensure that we can get coverage, particularly if the Affordable Care Act is repealed, but also to take action on a lot of these overdue reforms that we've been hearing about with respect to prescription drugs and definitely COVID vaccines. So the key is going to be whether or not folks stay engaged in this fight and stay in touch with their lawmakers, because the only way that we're going to get change is through regular folks across the state of Pennsylvania and across the country taking action. So I'll pause there, and let me check if Antoinette, our moderator, is back on.
Yeah, sorry, I'm back. Somehow I called her. Perfect timing.
That's okay. So we just responded to Mary's question about what happens if the ACA is overturned to people with COVID that need to go to the hospital.
Great, thanks. And I think we have time for one more question before we hand it over to Margarita. So if you have a question, hit zero on your keypad, and we will get you in the queue. And just a couple of things to share with folks. So we have a lot of folks asking questions about, you know, what do I do if I get coverage? I have questions about the Affordable Care Act and what's covered. I just want to let folks know that the Pennsylvania Health Access Network operates a free consumer assistance program, so we can connect you with healthcare programs, troubleshoot your questions, like some of the ones we heard earlier. And so You can always reach us by calling 877-570-3642, 877-570-3642, or you can text us, and our folks are available to help folks day and night get you the questions that you so need the answers to. So with that, we're going to go to our next question before we wrap up, and that is Donna from Bethlehem. Donna, you're on the line.
Hello. Do I need to push zero now, or am I being heard?
No, we can hear you loud and clear. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I really know that Senator Casey has cared, and I know my husband is deeply involved in writing letters. We are now way past retirement age and dependent on Social Security and Medicare. And my question is, we did vote, and we'll try to write letters or sign letters, but we no longer have much that we can donate because of our income. And I think that your last speaker actually addressed my question, which was going to be that what further can we do? Because already some is in trouble, and it's going to affect everyone, and I know that. But what is left to do that will be effective?
Donna, thank you. That is an excellent question, and you actually help us segue into the end of our discussion and what we can do to take next steps. And just to quote Senator, you know, we're going to continue to fight like hell to make sure we lower prescription drug prices, you know, and fight to protect the Affordable Care Act. And with that, I'm going to hand it over to Margarita George, who's with Lower Drug Prices Now, to kind of walk us through what we can all do as we continue this fight. Margarita?
Thanks, Antoinette. And, you know, thank you, Donna, for that question. And I just really want to point out that really you're answering your own question, right? What can you do? You're on this call tonight getting the latest information about what is happening right now that could impact you, your husband, your neighbors, your fellow Pennsylvanians. And I think that's the critical thing. It is really hard these days for regular folks to keep up with every single thing that is happening. It's just a barrage of news all the time. And so anytime regular folks take time out to actually get informed, talk to their senators, write letters, send emails, all of those things, those are the most important things. And that is in itself the most important contribution that every single one of us can make toward winning the types of policy changes that we care about, that we know are going to improve everybody's lives, regardless of who those folks voted for. So we've heard tonight how much is at stake for healthcare, for people with pre-existing conditions, for the millions of people struggling with affordable prescription drug costs. And we've heard how the current COVID context is making things worse and creating a higher level of worry, and it's impacting a lot of people, and it's impacting older people and brown and black people even more than a lot of other folks because they're already dealing with systemic disparities. Now, it doesn't have to be this way, right? Our country is struggling, but keep in mind that the Affordable Care Act wouldn't just take health care and protections away for millions of people. Some people would benefit, and the people that I'm talking about are billionaires and prescription drug corporations. So when we talk about whether politicians have a choice, they absolutely do have a choice. Bishop Royster talked about priorities. What we've seen over the last 4 years is really politicians prioritizing the well-being of prescription drug corporations and billionaires over our own, right? We've seen them get huge tax breaks. If the Affordable Care Act is repealed, prescription drug companies will get a $2.8 billion a year tax break because they'll no longer have to contribute that towards the law. And so not everybody is going to lose out. Some folks are going to do really well under a repeal scenario. Seniors are going to face higher drug costs because of the rollback of the ACA provisions that closed Part D, but the prescription drug companies are going to prosper under that scenario. Now, we have the reason we have the Affordable Care Act, and some of you all were involved in passing the Affordable Care Act, is because everybody came together and fought together to win the passage of that law, and for the last 10 years has worked together to implement it and expand it and make sure that people have access. And what we need to do is exactly the same thing, right? This fight is not going to end in a day or a week or a month, and is going to depend on all of us staying engaged and staying in touch with our legislators. So that is the takeaway from tonight's call. I want to thank Antoinette and FAN, Oxfam US, Bishop Royster, and definitely Senator Bob Casey for joining us tonight for this important conversation to really kick off what we know is going to be a lot of work to protect the health care that we have, to expand it, to ensure that we get an affordable vaccine and therapeutics so that we can beat COVID, and to make sure that every single person who gets sick can actually afford the prescription medication that they need to feel better. Most of all, I want to thank all of you for joining the call tonight and encourage you all to stay engaged by, you know, contacting fans line and getting engaged with your local organizations. The most important thing that we can do to take action is to make sure we vote, that we get our neighbors and our family members and our coworkers to participate, and that we consistently voice our concerns to elected leaders. So thank you so much to everybody who joined, and we are looking forward to fighting together with you to win the quality, affordable health care that we all need and affordable prescription medicines for everybody who needs them. Have a great night.